And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. And I'm talking about this show. Man, we send our signal like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, So here's the deal. Number one, out the gate, fighting back. That's the first dipper, all right? And that we'll kind of conclude that dipper with our conversation with former Congressman Mo Brooks here in about 30 minutes. But let me, all right, true story. I kid you not. True story. When I was in the state Senate during the time frame in which former Governor Robert Bentley had his personal crises, and it was a shame to watch him go down in flames like that. But one of the most interesting things about the whole deal was the state of Alabama had no means by which to conduct an impeachment. What do you mean, Phil? I mean, we didn't have any rules. There was no guidebook. It had never been done before. It had almost happened, I believe, in the 1800s, and then for whatever reason, it didn't. And so I was on the Senate floor one day, and I walked up to who was our pro tem of the Senate at the time, Del Marsh, and I said, "Hey, Del," and I told him same thing. I said, "Man, we got no rules." He goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "Del, there is no playbook for this. It's never been done." He looked at me and goes, "Well, you're a lawyer. I just gave it to you. You're going to figure out how this works." I said, well, okay. So literally what wound up happening was I got appointed to chair a bipartisan committee, and I selected the others on it. It was myself. I'm trying to think who was the other Republican. I think it was Greg Allbritton, who is now a budget chairman, and Bobby Singleton, who's a Democrat, and then also Hank Sanders, who is no longer in the Senate, but another member of the Democrat Party. So two Democrats, two Republicans. And we met together for once a week for the next, 5 or 6 weeks. And we took lessons from other states. How do you do this? How did they do it in Chicago? I mean, heck of a thing to be looking at Illinois and trying to figure out how to do business. But what we needed was some kind of precedent to say, when this happens, if it happens with Governor Bentley, what do we do? And I mean, like, literally down to the procedural aspects of what we do, because the last thing you want to do is create the image that we have no clue what we're doing. I mean, we didn't, but you know what I'm saying. And so, yeah, we came out with it. And so now, and then I went up on the floor of the Senate and presented the findings of this special commission that I had chaired. And it was, you know, from soup to nuts. If indeed the House were to make findings and refer those to the Senate would then conduct its business this way. And it would do so on a certain day. And there would be a proclamation of the governor on this day. And then there would be rules. And here's who would preside. And we'd have to bring in someone from the outside. Anyway, we laid it all out. As a lawyer, I can just tell you, we have the Alabama Rules of Civil Procedure. If I go to state court, I pull down the book of civil procedure rules, and I know what I can and cannot do. Same is true in federal court. You have the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure. You have the same thing for criminal procedure. Everybody knows what the rules are. We didn't know what the rules were. It was new territory. So now embedded in the state record is this document that I drafted. After meeting with my cohorts, and we put together a plan. I say all that to say, what we're seeing right now is, you know, this constant call, and I get it, man. I'm with you. Let's impeach somebody. Republicans should be fighting back. Why aren't we fighting back? Well, first of all, I believe we are. I believe that there are certain things that should be taken very seriously, and I do not ever want to see anything like what I saw with the January 6th commission, which could care less about cross-examination of witnesses and actually, I mean, I saw the other day, Tucker Carlson interviewed the guy that used to be the chief of the Capitol Police. The chief of the friggin' Capitol Police was never interviewed at all by the January 6th commission. Why? Because he didn't fit their narrative. All that to say, I don't want Republicans to ever be in the position of rushing in to do something with an agenda without the evidence. I get it if you have an agenda and the evidence matches. That's fine. Don't ever let yourself get in the position of having a kangaroo court in which you've got an agenda that drove you there, but you didn't go there with the evidence to back it up. That's crap politics. That's when you're looking like a banana republic. That's some of the things we're seeing, like with Alvin Bragg and his New York, jackleg operation to indict Trump. That's what we're seeing in Georgia, where they're creating novel new theories of law and applying them. So that being said, I do believe that impeachment certainly has its place, and there's some things that I'd love to see done. There's one or two people that I know for a fact need to be impeached, one of which is Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Mayorkas is our Secretary of Homeland Security, and our border is falling apart right now under his watch. But here's the way it works. The House and the Senate both have to be together. The House has to, in essence, the House of Representatives or Congress will act as a sort of a grand jury. They will convene, they will take witness testimony, they will look at the evidence, and then they will decide by vote if they see enough to warrant referring it then to the Senate. The Senate then becomes the trial. So the Senate then becomes a trial on the evidence handed to them by the members of the House. You can refer articles of impeachment from a House and get nothing out of the Senate. And that's happened before. When you do that, then you know what you've got is just a situation where you just want the indictment so you can make them look bad. Because you know you can't finish up with the trial because the Senate won't take it up. That's why you need both. Folks who are calling for impeachment right now need to realize Schumer still has the chair in the Senate. And McConnell's not going to do anything. So we need both to really get truly effective impeachment processes in place. All right. That being said, fighting back, I'm for it, man. It doesn't mean you don't hold hearings. It doesn't mean you don't bring out the evidence. And it doesn't mean, by the way, you don't refer those articles of impeachment, even if you don't have a Senate, because you may have something that's so egregious that you have to take that stand. Just make sure you got the evidence to go with it. I mean, I'll just never forget that whole process that I went through regarding Governor Bentley. And it weighed on me. It weighed on me, man. It weighed on me hard because I realized the import of what I was putting together. I now have my signature on what it would take to impeach an official in the state of Alabama. And it should never be taken lightly. But the one right now, and I've got an article here from Roll Call, the one right now that I think as we're fighting back, as we finally have at least the ability to exercise subpoena power and hold hearings of our own in the House of Representatives, the one that right now that I'm looking at when I'm saying fighting back is Mayorkas. My God, could we please? House Republicans, according to rollcall.com, this came out a few weeks ago, House Republicans accused Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas of mismanaging the U.S.-Mexico border, misrepresenting migration levels, and generally just barely stopped short of explicitly calling for his impeachment during the committee hearings. The Republican attacks came during a House Judiciary Committee hearing on the oversight of the Department of Homeland Security, and House Republicans, though, have been building a potential impeachment case. By the way, they're very open about it. It's not like it's a secret. They've already told him you might want to just, you know, start taking your personal effects and put them in boxes because we're coming. Colorado Republican Representative Ken Buck told Mayorkas his constituents see him as a traitor and blamed him for all the fentanyl poisoning deaths going on. Representative Andy Biggs, who chairs the Freedom Caucus from Arizona, has filed one of the impeachment resolutions against Mayorkas, grilled him about whether he and Joe Biden were responsible for guidance instructing immigration agents to prioritize arresting immigrants. And then when Mayorkas would refuse to answer, called it disgusting. Representative Mike Johnson of Louisiana said Mayorkas is the most dishonest person who's ever appeared before judiciary. Representative Ben Klein came close to threatening impeachment, just didn't use the actual word. He told him, you should be ashamed, and more so, you should be held accountable, and this committee will do just that. New Jersey Republican Jeff Van Drew, he used the word. He specifically called for the secretary to be impeached during the proceedings. And he urged Mayorkas to go ahead and resign. If you won't resign, you leave us with no other option. You should be impeached. The problem they got is they don't have the Senate yet. The problem they got, as we're fighting back, is that right now you've got the great opportunity to make your case, to show the evidence to the world, to use subpoena power as you can. But you still got to know that you got to get it done, and you got to get it done through the House and the Senate. Last one before we move on to the second half of that topic, though, is the other person who drives me crazy besides Joe Biden. By the way, I am not discounting the fact that Joe Biden is probably the most corrupt president we've ever had. And I say that knowing that we've had some corrupt presidents. But when have you ever seen somebody taking – they just found out – by the way, okay, I'm chasing a rabbit for a second. I don't know if you saw this, Boomer. They just found out – story broke last night. Representative James Comer, who heads up the Oversight Committee, just found out last night that President Biden, while he was vice president, was using a fake email address to communicate back and forth to Hunter Biden. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That's so he was like, I think he used the name Robert Peters to email back and forth with his son. Pray tell, why would you do that? Oh, maybe because you're trying to hide things. And then on top of that, they also appear to have banking records that indicate, along with text messages that corroborate, that Biden may have had direct access to Hunter's bank accounts, which is how he could get access to funds without having to put them in his own bank account. So when you have your own debit card off your son's account and your son gets paid $5 million and you need a little something-something for the weekend at Rehoboth Beach, you just use that debit card instead. And
interesting. So just, I mean, just...
That's okay. He's just the vice president of the United States.
Yeah.
No big deal.
It's fine.
No big deal.
Wow.
Yeah. Fighting back. That's where we are right now. We're taking a break. We'll come right back from this. I'll just tell you, man, I'm saying let's get her done. I'm also saying let's get all the ducks in a row. So those of y'all that are calling for it yesterday, just realize you got to build the case before you can try it. We're getting there. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. I just had a text a minute ago. Who was that? That was Brandy from Athens just texted in. She's apparently watching the live stream video. She goes, Phil, sometimes your facial expressions say even more than your words. That's probably true. Tony from Piedmont says, file all the impeachment charges, all that Marjorie Taylor Greene said. The cases are already made. Trump was impeached twice for nothing. I don't disagree with you, brother. I just don't want to be like them. I don't want to be like them where it looks like a total sham. There ain't nothing to it. Got no evidence, but we're going to do it anyway. Nancy Pelosi blazing forward because she just can. I don't want to be that. I don't want us to be them. But there is a lot of stuff out there right now that needs to get dealt with, and we are fighting back, and I just believe that we're building cases. And, you know, here's the thing. Some of these – so I mentioned a minute ago, Mayorkas, in my opinion, is the most derelict individual to ever hold a cabinet-level position. I mean, what a vacuous nothing, all right? That like the guy's an empty suit. I'm not sure how he ever earned the position, and I'm really not sure, by the way, how it is possible that he is not being held accountable. How does he possibly, with a straight face, come here and say, the border is secure? You lying turd biscuit. I mean, that is not, that, did I just say that? That's not a red button issue, I guess.
Nah, that's fine.
But anyway, all right, get yourself under control, Phil. Here's the other one. David from Huntsville just texted me and said, who's the other one? Granholm. The other one that I think is really just... failed miserably at her job is Secretary Jennifer Granholm, the Department of Energy. I mean, think about it. What has happened in the energy sector since she took over? Well, we've got places where the grid has been strained, Texas. We've got issues related to the Strategic Petroleum Reserve being depleted. Gas prices have gone through the roof. We're no longer energy independent. Now, she's happy with this. Let's be honest. She's happy with this. She doesn't want us to be energy independent because that means we're drilling for oil. She doesn't want fossil fuels. But we have seen a hit on the economy that has had second and third order effects on her watch, all related to the Department of Energy. And then the ongoing battle right now is, you know, like I'm going to have this whole section. The next one of the dippers we're going to get to today, we hope, is a magic bus. Electric school buses. Awesome. Wow, cool. I believe that we're going to have electric everything one day. Really? How are you going to make that electricity? Well, we're going to, I don't know, we're going to plug it in. Well, where's the money? Where's the energy come from to plug it in? Well, it'll be great. We'll make more. Okay, how are you going to do that? Because you won't have coal-fired plants. You know, you won't approve nuclear. You don't want to drill for anything. So what you going to do? I guess we'll just buy more gas from Russia. Awesome. Secretary Granholm, in my opinion, is the other one that needs to go. Now, we got a situation. Speaking of impeachment, let me just lay the foundation for this conversation we're going to have with Mo Brooks here in a few minutes. So former Congressman Mo Brooks, an attorney himself, well-versed in the law, he is not a fan of Donald Trump. You know, they had that falling out. He's not a fan of Donald Trump, and I understand his sentiments on that. I mean, I don't share them. I just say I understand where he's coming from because they had their falling out. That being said, he's making, you know, no bones about how he feels about this indictment in Georgia. He is on the record right now as saying that this district attorney, Fannie Willis, Mo Brooks, says she is downright dangerous and evil. He is of the belief that the potential is there to actually impeach her. There's a Georgia state senator who's making waves right now by having issued an open letter to Governor Brian Kemp calling for him to engage the legislature and call them in for a special session for the sole purpose of examining the actions of DA Fannie Willis to determine whether or not she abused her authority or in some way acted egregiously in such a way that she should be impeached herself. I think that's a stretch. I'll be honest. I don't think it's going to happen. But here's the interesting dynamic. Brian Kemp is not a fan of Trump either. I mean, they've had their falling out. But Kemp is probably not going to call the legislature in. Kemp is on record today as saying he does not see the votes there sufficient to even warrant calling them in. However, it appears that Georgia law does not require the governor to do so if, in fact, they have a 3/5 majority of the legislature that are willing to come in and sign their names to it. So could they call themselves in? We're going to talk to Mo Brooks about that in detail. I mean, Mo served in the Alabama state legislature as well as Congress. He's seen the machinations of state politics. He knows what goes on. And I'm interested to hear his thoughts on this. I'm also interested in the fact that he's calling this out in a big, big way, even though he doesn't like Trump, which is what I think makes his commentary more pure, if you will. Because when you don't like the guy, but you're willing to say that's wrong, then you realize that the that's wrong is probably based in truth as opposed to emotion. And all right, we're going to see with Mo Brooks here in just a few minutes when we get back from that break. I will say this. I am also pleased to look over the text lines and see Rayson from Hawaii texting in. Rayson from Hawaii, we love you, brother. We're so sorry. The state of Hawaii has been going through what it has, and I know the island of Maui has really been hit hard. But Rayson, I'm glad that you're doing well. And I know we checked on you earlier, and you said you had some family members in that particular part of the island, so I pray that they're well. But he says, we are a right-side ruffian nation that honors God, family, and our military. Love you all. That's Rayson from Hawaii. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Devin from Brownsboro says, the jackassery sound effect for those two? So, yeah, okay. Impeach Mayorkas, impeach Granholm, jackassery. Hit it. Can't do it? Oh, the music started too soon. All right, we'll play it later. Thank you, Devin from Brownsboro, who knows that we got a jackassery sound effect and called for it. Coming right back, former Congressman Mo Brooks on the line with us. We'll have him and talk about what's happening over yonder in Georgia. We'll be right back.